Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It's a paradox. When people refuse sound teaching, God sends false prophets to give them lies to believe. Jeremiah teaches that false prophets in themselves are a judgment from God. Today, the takeaway lessons from our look at false prophets. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on The Church in Babylon, Unleashing the Power of a Spirit-Filled Witness. Now, Erwin Lutzer takes us again to Jeremiah 5 and recognizing false prophets.
Let me give you three quick conclusions here to help us to draw this together and to give us some hope. First of all, number one, remember this, false prophets are God's judgment upon a nation. False prophets are God's judgment upon a nation. What Jeremiah actually says is, God says, I'm putting a stumbling block before the people, and that stumbling block happens to be false prophets. And Paul, in effect, says the very same thing in the book of 1 Timothy. I want you to just notice what Paul has to say here. For the time is coming, he says, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and will wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Notice this, people are going to wander off to find doctrine, find a preacher that affirms their own passions. So you see, what the people did in Jeremiah's day is they said, we don't like Jeremiah's message. What we're going to do is we're going to find a false prophet who tells us exactly what we want to hear. And that becomes part of their judgment. Because you see, they're not interested in the truth because the truth bothers them so deeply. And the truth means that they are sinners and they need to repent and come to God. And they say, that's not what we want to hear. And so they turn away. And they do their own thing, seeking the kind of teacher or prophet that they want. Secondly, true prophets always preach God's word. I want to read this from Jeremiah chapter 23. True prophets always preach God's word. You know what Jeremiah says in chapter 23? That the false prophets actually strengthen the hands of evildoers. That's in verse 14 and 15. Can you imagine that? They strengthen the hands of evildoers. They give people confidence to do evil and say that nothing will bother them. God will put up with it. But then the Lord says this in verse 23. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in a secret place so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? The answer, of course, is no. Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? Do you see how deep this goes? Who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. Now notice this. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words, and they give them to one another, and they've got all the dreams and so forth. So God there makes a contrast between his word, between Jeremiah's word and the word of the New Testament and the words of the Bible. God contrasts that with all the false prophets who are going with their dreams and their visions, he says, what connection is there between straw and wheat? One is straw, the other is wheat. And what is it that what is the message that we need to get to people today? What is our greatest need? If we're not going to simply heal their wound superficially, what is it that they need to know? First of all, the holiness of God. We cannot remake God in our image. We must bow before who God is. God does not come along and say, I want you to choose whether or not you like me or whether or not you want to change me. I am who I am, and I change not. That's the first thing that we must communicate to this generation. And the second thing that we must communicate is that he is a God of mercy and invites people to come to him. All throughout the book of Jeremiah, God keeps saying, return to me, return to me, return to me. And in chapter 31, God says that even though this generation has hardened their heart and will not turn to me, and we'll look at that more in future messages, the Lord also says very clearly that there's another generation, chapter 31, that will turn to me, and I will give them a new covenant, God says, and they will obey me, and I will forgive their sins and their iniquities. I will remember no more. And when Jesus came, you remember how he said to the disciples, take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. This blood is the blood of the new covenant in my blood. What Jesus was saying is, I fulfill the promises of the book of Jeremiah. I am here today to forgive your sins, to receive you. The issue is never the greatness of our sin. There are some of you who are listening today who don't think you need a Savior because you don't think that your sin is very big, when the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are others of you who say to yourself, I've sinned so bad, I've messed up so bad, God can't forgive me. The answer to both of you is God can forgive. He is gracious. He is merciful. If you come to Jesus, forgiveness and reconciliation with God is not only possible, it is a reality for those who believe on him. Well, remember that. Simon Wiesenthal, I think I pronounced his name correctly, was a Jew, you remember, who survived the Holocaust. And in his book, Sunflower, he tells an interesting story. He says that there was a young Nazi soldier who was dying. And Wiesenthal was there in the room with this soldier. And the young Nazi asked Wiesenthal to forgive him for his sins against the Jews. No doubt it was quite a dilemma for Simon Wiesenthal, but he left the room and refused to grant this young man's request for forgiveness. So what Wiesenthal did is he wrote then about it, and he sent his dilemma to various ethicists and professors throughout the world and asked, did I do the right thing? Well, actually, Wiesenthal did the right thing, in my opinion, because he wasn't in a position where he could forgive this Nazi his sins. It would have been one thing for the Nazi, you see, to go to those whom he had brutally wronged and in some instances killed, which of course would have been then impossible for him to make reconciliation. But the whole point is simply this, that when we sin, we can only be forgiven by the person against whom we have sinned. In that sense, Wiesenthal was right. But there's something that we need to emphasize from the book of Jeremiah and from the whole Bible. And that is this, that all sin is sin against God. Whether or not you lie to someone, that lie is an offense against God, a greater offense against God than it is against the person to whom you have lied. Immorality is an offense to God, and therefore only God is able to forgive sins. And Jesus Christ came to this world so that God could forgive, God could be holy at the one time over here. We know the holiness of God, and at the same time, he could be merciful and loving to receive all those who come to him, recognizing that all of us have sinned against God, and therefore only God can forgive us. That's a message that needs to be heard today. Because there are some of you who are listening in whose heart God is working right now and pointing out your need for a Savior, your need for Jesus Christ, who came to forgive us of our sins. You know, during the time of the Reformation, official Christendom said to the Reformers, "How do you know that you have the right message? Where are your miracles?" And the Reformers said, "We don't need miracles because the Bible says that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe." If you want to see a miracle, you come to Jesus Christ and receive his forgiveness, his acceptance, and he'll do a miracle in your heart, and you'll be converted and reconciled to God. Let's bow together in prayer, shall we? And before I close this prayer, I'm talking now to you. I'm not yet talking to God. If God has talked to you, would you reach out to him right now and say, "Jesus, I thank you that you died for sinners. I thank you that you invite me to come to you and to become your son or your daughter forever." Would you reach out to him now in this moment of silence? Father, hear the prayer of all we ask. And we thank you that you are a holy God, but you're also a forgiving God. And we thank you today that Jesus died for us. May we come to receive the forgiveness and the cleansing that he offers to all who believe on him. We pray in his blessed name. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Have you ever met someone who believes that Jesus is on a continuum with other religious teachers? I hope that you understand, my friend, today that Jesus is the only one who has the qualifications to be a Savior. Other religious teachers might teach you the path that you should follow. They have good advice. We don't just have good advice. We have good news. We have somebody who is able to rescue us from our sins, bring us into the presence of God, and declare us as righteous as God himself is. That's why if you listen to Running to Win, you know that practically every time we always end a message with an invitation to receive Christ as Savior, because there is nobody else out there like him. We seek to exalt Christ. And if you seek to exalt Christ, we want to thank you so much for listening to Running to Win and to invite your friends to listen to Running to Win. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Thank you in advance for your financial support, for your prayers. Together we are making a difference, and you are partners in our ministry.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Recognizing False Prophets, the third message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time, we look at Israel, clay in the potter's hand. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD. We'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.